thinking big thoughts, so you don't have
Wait
to.
Wait a minute.
Here's John Williams.
What day is it? Don Kleffin's doing the news. Hi, it's John Williams. That sounds like my Saturday show. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, weekdays from 1 to 3 and Saturdays 10 to noon. That's when Don and I and Griffin and Joe Kibitz. It's good to kibitz with him and you. Right here on WGN. Don, I believe I gave out erroneous information on our Saturday show. And that is, I think I said on Saturday that Sunday was Earth Day. Is today Earth Day? Today is Earth Day, right? Felt like it yesterday, too, though, didn't it?
It's accurate. Today is Earth Day.
Thank you. Sunday, I rode over to the lake on my little bicycle. Noticed that shade is being cast now by the tiny leaves on the trees onto the sidewalk and street. Have you noticed?
It just popped out of nowhere.
I know. It's just like, hooray, it's happening! Yay. It's happening! Spring is coming! Another great sign of spring is I got over towards the lake. They have that paved path that's shared by the cyclists and the joggers, and they were already getting into arguments, so that's always a sign.
Tis the season.
People were everywhere out yesterday. Boats were being cleaned in the harbor. Men were fishing along the banks. There was the sweet, tangy smell of barbecue sauce and charcoal grills everywhere. People were flying kites. There were three men playing catch with a tennis ball. There was a couple making out on the lawn. People were taking pictures with great big cameras of birds. There was a kickball tournament yesterday in my neighborhood, and the participants were dressed as Easter bunnies. Golf course was full. Tennis courts were so crowded. Folks were standing around waiting for a court to open up. There were push cart vendors along the lakefront selling flavored ice and other treats. Ah, oh, it just felt so good yesterday. So, happy Earth Day. Do something good about the Earth and enjoy the weather as you can. We pinned to the top of my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. WGN King John on Facebook. We pinned to the top the video of our studio interview last week with Mary Allen. She's one of the recycling gurus of Northern Cook County and suburbs, and she was answering questions about curbside recycling. So can you or can you not, should you or should you not recycle this? In fact, let's do this, Producer Elle. If we've got some tickets to give away to my Thomas Jefferson show, let's give away a pair right now. But you have to get the question right. I've got four questions. You have to get both questions right. So we'll give away two pair. So two participants, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You have to get both questions right to win a pair of tickets to see me on stage with Thomas Jefferson at the Classic Cinemas Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove, May 18th at 10 a.m. If you're paying attention, you will know the answers to these questions. Lauren Lapka, why don't you give us a try? I mean, you can just tell us what you think the answer to this is, okay. But our participants will have to get it right on their own. Well, actually, they could use you as like a lifeline. Let's say that.
Phone a friend.
Yeah, you are the friend. Elle, if my phones look really weird here, are we going to be able to put calls on the air? We might not be able to put calls on the air. Let's see here. I think, let's just see if this works. They look very strange, our phone setup. But let's see if when I hit this button, we hear somebody named Chris. Chris, are you there?
I am. How you doing?
Hokey smokes. It works. Good, Chris. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good on a beautiful day.
Amen to that, my friend. You've got to get both questions right to win a pair of tickets. You ready?
I'm ready.
Question number one. This is for curbside recycling. You know, the question is, should you recycle this or not? Ready?
Ready.
A Dunkin' Donuts bag. That's sort of, the bag that the Dunkin' Donuts come in. I guess I don't need to describe it. Should you recycle your Dunkin' Donuts
bag?
Yes or no? Lapka, you want to advise him on that? He's saying yes.
I believe he is right, as long as it is not a waxy paper and it doesn't have a bunch of food stains.
The correct answer is yes. Yes, they will take your Dunkin' Donuts bag. Take the food out. Don't leave that little tissue in there that they put when they grab the donut either. How about this
Fair enough.
Should you crush plastic bottles and cups before recycling them? Yes or no?
Yes.
Lapka, any advice for him on
that? I would advise you to say no.
I would say no.
Lapka and you are both correct. You should not crush your plastic bottles and cups. It's easier for the machines to handle them in a larger format. If they're crushed small, they fall below a certain line and they get swept away and are not recycled.
That was one of the most interesting things.
Say that again, Lauren.
That was one of the most interesting things that we learned. I did not know that.
Yeah, I always thought make everything small. That'll take up less space. Good for us. No, don't crush them. You're wasting your time, and in fact, they won't get recycled. Wowzers. Okay.
Yeah.
So hold the line. Talk to producer Elif Garris. She'll get your information. And if you can join us on Saturday, May 18th in Downers Grove, we want to see you see Thomas Jefferson, okay?
Oh, definitely will. Thank you.
Yeah, and TJ's a big friend of the earth and environment, so there's the tie-in. Let's try Julie. Julie, are you ready to play our little Earth Day trivia game?
I am.
Okay. Have you seen our Thomas Jefferson show?
I have not.
It's awesome. All right, ready?
I am ready.
You have some aluminum foil. Should you recycle that? That is, put it in your curbside bin for recycling, yes or no?
Yes.
Lapka's advice is also...
Also, yes, again, as long as there's no food waste on it.
And that is correct. I knew aluminum cans, but for some reason I had it in my pea brain head that you shouldn't recycle aluminum foil. Maybe because it's usually got pizza or, casserole stuck to it, but as long as it's clean, recycle it. How about this? Metal screws. We brought in some metal screws for Mary Allen the other day. I said, should these go in the recycling bin? Yes or no? Recycle metal objects like that, little metal objects.
I would say no.
Julie's not certain of her answer on this one. How about you, Lauren?
I would also say no.
No is the correct answer. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Hey, listen, you're our guest to go see TJ at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove on Saturday, May 18th, if you can come along.
Great. Thank you so much.
Julie, what are you doing today? Isn't it lovely outside?
I'm working, but I'm in sales, so I'm outside, so I'm loving it.
Yeah. Air quotes, working. No, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not funny. People who are in sales grinding around on the highways and byways, that's work. So thank you for doing what
it is. That is true. Thank you.
Hold the line. Talk to producer Elif, okay? Everybody else, you go buy your tickets. Everybody else, go buy some tickets to go see Thomas Jefferson on stage Saturday, May 18th. Tickets at WGNradio.com, WGNradio.com/Jefferson. Did you see Elizabeth Warren's proposal? She's running for president, the senator. She's not the first one to suggest this, and isn't the first time that it's come up from her, but she's got some traffic today. Her idea is that pretty much everybody's college loans will be forgiven, not in 10 years, not in 120 consecutive payments. You make up to $250,000 a year, and you'll get much or all of your student loan forgiven. And she wants to make college free, too. And that's super totally groovy for you. But I'm telling you, there's just a little part of me that said, wait a minute, I retired four college loans. That is, Brenda and I did ours, and we helped put our sons through college, and as a person who paid that money, I think that if you can pay the money, you should pay the money. Doesn't that sound or feel a little like Elizabeth Warren just trying to buy votes? I mean, if you were thinking, hey, if Elizabeth Warren gets to be president, we don't have to pay our student debt. Yeah, I'll vote for that. Sign me up. I just wanted to forgive car loans. I wanted to forgive mortgages. Everybody who went out there and bought a house, that home loan is hereby forgiven. I will vote for that. We're going to talk about that a little later on. Oh, and just one other piece of good news about what happened over the weekend. Did you see where the Cubs are now? Does it feel like the Cubs are like in it, or does it feel like the Cubs are still languishing, right? It seems to me like the Cubs are doing better. They're won 7 of their last 10 games. Every now and then you're reminded that Rizzo and Bryant aren't hitting like they used to, and the pitching isn't all that it's supposed to be, but they've won 7 of their last 10 games. And you saw good things yesterday. I don't know if this is the glass is half full or half empty. The Cubs are 10-10. So despite going 7-3 of the last 10 games, they're still 10-10. But on the upside, they're only 2.5 games out of first place, which is a very good thing.
Well, they unlost the division in the first month, right? You can't win a division, but you can lose one. It looked like they might have lost one. They've unlost it. They found it.
I know. It's like...
we found the division.
If at any point in the season I said 2.5 games out, you would say, well, that's 4 games. You could fix that easily. You know, you win your 4, they lose 2. Boom, you're right there a half game out.
Especially against the Brewers.
So, and they're not even in first place. I mean, and then you look at it and you go, Pittsburgh? I still don't believe in Pittsburgh, although they've won 7 of their last 10. And then you've got St. Louis and Milwaukee. So we are in fourth place out of 5 teams. It's, you know, that doesn't look good. I think the only number that really matters here, especially this early in the season, and maybe none of them matter, is 2.5 games. You know, nobody is, I'd like to be 12-7 like Pittsburgh, but 10-10 is only 2.5 out. So it seems to me like all of that early panic has suddenly kind of gone away.
Wouldn't it be nice if Pittsburgh actually had a full season? I mean, you're not worried about Pittsburgh, right?
No, that's it, right.
I root for them. I wish them well, but they never quite can put together.
No, Milwaukee's the one that I don't trust. Milwaukee's the one that I'm just like, ugh. And then on the other side, you've got the White Sox, who have won 5 of their last 10. Remember, it'll be a winning season for the White Sox if they win half their games. And they've won 5 of their last 10. And every now and then they show signs of life. They're only 4.5 out, but I don't think there's much sugarcoating what is going to happen to the White Sox this year. They are 8-12. So baseball underway in Chicago. James, by the way, 5:30 pregame coverage tonight on WGN. Hey, James, you're on the air. What's up? What can I do for you?
Hi, John. When can you become king?
Yeah, the paperwork is tied up in Cook County. What can I do for you?
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that stuff for our city of Cook County. With the recycling, the lady that was on talked about not crushing your recyclables, your bottles and that.
Yeah.
I drive a recycling compactor truck. That's all we do all day, is pick up the recycling, and it compacts it and crushes it, and so we can get more on.
Like I said, you should absolutely crush your paper, plastic bottles, and cups. There's no doubt about it.
and then we take it over to the transfer station where the front end loader, who rolls over the heap while he's getting up on top as much as he can, he packs it down into the into the semi truck that takes it away.
Well, I'm not there, but I'll tell you, I think this is what she said. It's not a laser, but there's some sort of technology that sort of measures the height. And they expect, it sounds like, the plastics to take up so much space. And I had one that was flattened like a pancake. And she said that will be knocked off as some, I forget what she called it, but some sort of other debris. And it won't be calculated,
right, it won't be
or
measurable.
Mixed.
Or
yeah. So that gets tossed away. And what do you say about that, Mr. Trash Compactor Driver?
What I'm thinking is, like you say, it really should be standardized. It's tough when different companies or different places have different equipment.
Yeah.
So the message is changed by location, you know,
I mean,
in the west suburbs.
It just kind of shows that the economic incentive or the ecological imperative isn't so great that we care that much.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. I mean, this should be uniform. It should be at crisis level.
We should be trying harder to include stuff rather than exclude stuff.
Pollution isn't the same as climate change, but a lot of the stuff that we're debating whether or not we can recycle it is carbon-based. If we used fewer things, it would lead to less pollution in the air, and that would have an impact on the climate. So these things are all tied together here on Earth Day.
Right. I mean, everything is recyclable to a degree, but it depends on what extent you're going to go to travel to melt down metals and, you know.
Right. Well, this is curbside. So, like, metal objects you can take to a metal recycler, but on your curbside with your aluminum cans and milk cartons, she said no. And I suspect you would agree with me on that if I had some screws from a thing that I don't use anymore and I thought, oh, I'll just put these, that's a bad idea. What's the area where you do the recycling?
Everywhere from Glen Allen, Carroll Stream, Oswego, Downers, Lyle, Woodridge.
Well, she lives in northern Cook County, and you know, she said that what she was saying applied to much of the Chicagoland area. So I am really getting mixed signals here. So what's your advice to our listeners then? If I have a, say, a water bottle, one of those plastic water bottles, squish it down or leave it whole?
I don't think there's a difference. She seems to think there is. She must know more than me. I'm going to say the most instructions that we have are the items, and they're looking for, like you say, plastic water bottles, aluminum cans, things of that nature, papers, cardboard. When you start getting into conduit, electrical wiring, and things like that, you're beyond the scope of what they're looking for.
Yeah, I really think that we should have days where you are able to take all of your electronics, all the things that poor little kids in third world countries are going to sort through with their fingers. We ought to have a day where you can put all of that on your curb, and it goes to a place that's environmentally and humanely, you know, just. I don't know that municipalities do that necessarily.
No, the public in general has to get educated on what is acceptable to recycle, and they push the boundaries beyond what you'd believe.
So do you like your job? I mean, it sounds kind of cool to me, James.
It's okay. It is good, but sometimes you just shake your head. Like you said, when you're picking things out of there, what you're seeing go in, and you're just like, no, I know you have a likeness to your pillow, but that's not recycling. Or gym shoes, you know.
Oh, come on, you guys. Really? Really?
Oh, yeah.
When in doubt, throw it out. When in doubt, throw it out.
Yeah, exactly. So get that paperwork through the process so we can have it all one uniform standard.
I will do that. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to be king someday for that very reason. I said to the woman that was on with us, Mary Allen was her name, and I said, okay, I've got this cup from the coffee machine here at the radio station. It has one of those rounded triangles with a six inside. Silly me, I thought that was kind of the universal sign to recycle. She said, no, this is styrene, and no, you can't recycle that, you big dummy. I said, well, then what's with the six? And she goes, well, the six is the measure of styrene components. It's an industrial number. I'm like, I don't care about that. Here's what you should do. When I get to be king, everything's going to come with one of the two following things, a green stamp or a red stamp. There'll be a little dot there. And green means it gets to be recycled. And red means it does not. And it'll be a statewide thing.
I like that idea, John. One thing that we had in Oregon when I was living there, they had something called a garbage guru. And all you had to do was go on their website, type in the item, and
good.
It told you yes or no.
That is a good idea.
I think everyone should have that, because that alone, you know, instead of just doing when in doubt, throw it out. Well, we also want to try and do better, right?
I know, right. Yeah, what if it could go in recycling? Well, yeah, because I would doubt. Now I'm doubting everything. You know, and the one thing I don't think I asked her was newspaper still in the plastic bag?
Well, I think she said no to plastic bags,
yes,
right?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. So I guess that would be no. Because I see so many people go, good, I'll just toss this newspaper in there, but it's still in the bag. But, you know, the machines will figure it out. I don't think so.
And so that's a perfect example of where it doesn't pay, apparently, for them to hire someone to take it out of the plastic bag.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's no economic incentive, right? And so we'll just throw that away, recyclable, even though it is. I just spoke like Yoda.
I don't understand that, Steve. What did you mean?
Recyclable, even though it is.
Well, is that how Yoda sounds?
No, but that, I mean, I misspoke, but right? So this comes across the conveyor belt. It's like, well, it's in a plastic bag. Yeah, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not quite there yet. We're like, oh my God, I got to save this newspaper.
That would be a pretty, I mean, think about how, I can't imagine how you could ever justify the expense of a human being doing that, you know, to make up for, you would not make enough money on the recycled newspaper.
That's my point, I guess,
to hire somebody to do that.
Right.
And we don't care enough to do that either. So it's one or the other would work. I like the idea of some geocentric, so it knows where I am. If we don't have a state code, then at least it ought to know where your computer is or where your phone is, and you take a picture of her, you type in newspaper plastic bag, and it'll ding, tell you in your neighborhood, like Lauren said. What do they call it, the garbage guru?
Yep, garbage guru, and it's on the county's website. That's how they had it over
Well, if your city or county has that here in the Chicagoland area, I'd be interested in knowing that, but I'm unawares of anything like that. My fallback for all of this is that New York Times reporter I've had on a couple of times, who over the last 15 years has written two really deep articles about recycling and garbage. And his big takeaway is, we'll be fine. Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll be fine. He said that if you dug a hole that was 100 feet deep by 100 feet long by 100 feet wide, you could put all of the garbage that we're ever going to generate in there, or something like that. I mean, he just made it sound so not consequential that all of the things that we're suffering and worrying about came from the earth. You can put back in the earth. There's a lot of earth. And, and you know, like, I would be worried about toxic material seeping into the water. But generally, he wasn't, you know what I'm talking about, right, Steve? He wasn't very exercised.
Yeah, this guy was so aggravating.
Yeah, he was to you and Griffin, who was producing that day. And I'm like, shut up. This is a guy from the New Yorker or New York Times.
Yeah, no,
I seem to know what he's talking about.
He was aggravating because he just challenged everything we thought was true. But
well, thank you for that.
He knows more than I do.
Didn't used to love olive oil. Love it on my bread. Love it on my noodles. Love it on my ice cream. We'll be listening, Patty. John, what about rotors? So a lot of questions about recycling. Clearly, all I have for you is that we don't know, and that if we think we know, we may not. So feel free to text me your questions about recycling. Just real quick here, Mike, what was it? A lot of people, Elif, said what you want to say. What do you want to say, Mike? You're on the air.
Hey, John, those numbers on the bottom of the plastic.
Yeah.
The number ones are the most recyclable. Those are the ones that they're definitely going to put through the recycling. Okay. The higher the number, the less recyclable it is and is going to be thrown in the garbage.
How high do the numbers go, do you know?
You know, well, you said a number six a little bit ago, and that's the first I heard about a number six. I thought it went to number five, but...
the stuff we're using here is so not recyclable. You know, our speakers go to 11. It's a number six, so... All right. Well, that's very helpful. By the way, you have just educated me enormously, so... One is good, two is not as good, three, et cetera, right?
One, two, and three are probably ones that they can recycle a little bit. But, I mean, the ones are definitely going to get recycled, but, I mean, if the clear the plastic, the clear plastic bottles are going to have a number one on them.
It's very helpful. I got to run, but thank you for the call.
You bet.
Have a good day.
And over to James now. He had 71,114. He already has the top three spots, as you've heard me say before, for the most winnings on a single program. Did he come up with Atticus Finch? Yes. And this is for you, Granny. Is your grandma still alive?
No.
Awkward.
All right. You're going to add some more money. You have just set a one-day record again. $131,127 for a now 10-day total of $697,787.
Alex Trebek with James Holzhauer, obviously, the guy who's from these parts, although I understand that he lives and works in Nevada now as a sports bettor. You know, if you're one of the smartest people ever, he's got, weirdly, only the third most, but still the third most ever winnings in the history of Jeopardy. And his run continues this week. I guess he'll be on the show again today. But if you were that super insanely smart, what would you do with that? Like, should you go cure cancer? Should you, I don't know. Like, I think when we think of smart people, we think of doctors and lawyers, right? But if you were a really good doctor, you'd be really good for a patient. Maybe you shouldn't limit yourself. You should, like, be a researcher, but then maybe we'll never see the results of that mine for years, and maybe your research won't pan out. You know, I'm like, what do you do with this opportunity when you have a brain that's that agile?
So you go to Vegas and count cards.
No, I don't think he counts cards, but I mean, at least, you know, as we talked about this just briefly on Saturday, a lot of the really smart people these days who are young and have agile minds are either coming up with apps or making craft brews. I'm not sure that's the best use of their intellect either. But this guy's brain is surely on full display, and we have not been able to reach him. I think maybe he's in a zone. I mean, we've reached his people, and they said, no, he's not doing interviews right now, which is fine. But his brother is an attorney, and he is still in the area, Ian Holzhauer. Ian, this is John Williams. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. You are an attorney, speaking of smart people, with Nagel Obarski in Naperville. So who's smarter, you or your brother?
Oh, there's no question that my brother has always been the smarter one.
Are you his older brother or younger brother?
I'm his older brother by about a year and a half.
How old are you two guys?
Okay, so I'm 36 and he's 34.
He graduated from what high school again?
We both went to Naperville North.
Do you guys get good grades at Naperville North?
So growing up, I was always the straight edge kid. I got good grades, worked very hard in school. James is sort of, he should be an inspiration for C students everywhere. I don't think he did his homework a single day in high school. In math class, he would set the curve on every single test, but then he would end up getting a C because he didn't do any of his homework. You know, right now I'm sitting in an office with a lot of dark wood around me. I can almost guarantee he's in flip-flops right now. We just lead very different lifestyles, and we always have.
No judging, though. I mean, whatever works for him, works for him. Whatever works for you, works for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd say it's worked out pretty well for him right now.
What do you make of my little observation? I mean, if you do have that kind of a mind, which is a gift or maybe a tool that you sharpen, I'll give him ownership of whatever he's been able to do with that. But what does a person do that has that nimble thinking thing, you know?
You know, I think it actually has been kind of a challenge. You know, that was a thought in college. What kind of a career is he going to pursue? And honestly, for people with very strong math skills, you know, there's corporate finance, there's becoming an actuary, but there's not that many career paths out there. So I think he sort of turned to what are my dreams. I think what are his dreams? He would love to work for a baseball team like the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs have always been his favorite team, you know, doing their stats or something like that. He grew up watching Jeopardy every day, so obviously that was a dream of his. But, you know, one thing I will say is that I've been impressed with him about all of this is over the last few weeks, hasn't been very public, but he's been taking a lot of those winnings that he's won from Jeopardy and giving them to children's charities and food banks in the Las Vegas area and things like that. So, you know, I appreciate that even though he may not be directly working with those causes, he still recognizes the importance of them.
Wow, I had no idea. Good for him. Good for them. You know, we saw him on another show too. We were, if you Google James Holzhauer, Ian Holzhauer, his brother is here in Naperville and is on a phone line with us. We're talking about his brother who is on his way to becoming, well, who knows how successful a Jeopardy champion, but he's been on there for a few weeks now, and he's the third now all-time winningest Jeopardy player. He has not yet hit $1 million, and the two ahead of him have $3 and $4 million. By the way, do you know where he is? That is, has today's show or this week's shows been taped? Do you know the outcome of his run?
No. So they have done an amazing job. First of all, the Jeopardy producers do an amazing job, and the contestants of keeping this under wraps. These shows were all filmed in February, but I didn't even know he was going to be on Jeopardy until a few days before he was on Jeopardy. So we were sitting at Lou Malnati's in downtown Naperville, and, you know, I was going to pick up the tab for the family, and he and his wife were, like, really insistent that they be the ones paying this time. So I was like, okay, you know, now I kind of understand why.
Yeah, no money. Kidding. But he'd won a lot of money on a previous show, too, right?
That's true. He was on a show called The Chase up against actually the European trivia champion, a guy named Mark Labette, and he did well there too. But that was more of a cult show. Not a lot of people saw that.
No, but we found the video of that. Elif, can you pull up the video from James Holzhauer on that other show? I think we have some of it. What was the name of that show again?
The Chase.
The Chase. And we played it, I think, last week. If you find it, just give me the thumbs up. Because that was a really fast-paced show. Jeopardy is quick enough. But this thing was like, how many questions can you answer in like 60 seconds? And the register kept running, and he just killed on that, too.
Yeah, he's got a very quick mind. I mean, as a kid, I remember I didn't need a calculator. This is a true story. I didn't need a calculator because if I needed to know the answer to a long division problem, I could turn to James and he could give me the answer to several decimal places just from his head. So
math is his strength, huh?
Math, speed, you know, it's pretty, he's got a lot of strengths. He can know a lot about literature, sports for sure.
Yeah. What did he, did he get like good scores on his ACT? Do you know what his IQ is? Is he a Mensa person, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't think he bothers with Mensa or anything like that. I mean, he's not a very formal person, you know, but he got a very high ACT score, maybe a 35 or something. In spite of that, I think he barely slipped into U of I with his grades.
What? So what did he study at U of I?
Technically, he was a math major, and I don't know his GPA, but he always says his real major was in online poker, because that's where he really honed that skill. And I remember one funny story was he was in an organic chem class, and he went to the first class, picked up the syllabus, and they said, okay, the final's going to be December 15th. And he never went to class, showed up on December 15th. Well, he didn't know they had changed the date of the final. And so he ended up flunking that class just because he'd never gone and didn't know they'd changed the date of the final.
Funny how that would come up, you know?
yeah. But he switched. You mentioned the counting cards thing. He doesn't really do cards. It's online. I'm sorry, it's not online. It's sports betting right now is what he does, which kind of ties back to WGN because as kids, one of his big things growing up was listening to the Cubs games, listening to Harry Carey on WGN Radio and WGN TV, and just learning about baseball statistics that way.
You know, and we're going to talk about the Illinois gambling law tomorrow in the business lunch. They're doing it in Indiana as well, where they're going to be able to bet from smartphones. So, I mean, there's nothing that would keep him in Las Vegas soon, right?
He could come home.
Yeah, that's a possibility. You know, they've got the weather and, you know.
Oh, yeah, okay, never mind.
he must have made your parents crazy then.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a lot of, hey, you know, if you only applied yourself in school like the way that Ian did, you know, you could really make something of yourself. But as it turns out, they put their eggs in the wrong basket.
I don't know. You seem to have turned out pretty well, too.
No, I am doing okay for myself. But you know, I think his, I mean, look, he lived out his dream. It's really amazing.
Well, but you know, it's funny because you said, okay, so he doesn't play parlor games. He's not into roulette or poker or stuff like that. Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, I think for fun, he likes to play bridge, but that's not for money. It's just kind of mental stimulation for him. He used to do poker, but where he really, really excels is sports statistics.
Okay, but that's funny to me because I know a lot of guys who are pretty good at following sports and sports statistics. And I don't know, I was talking to a friend who dabbles in this industry the other day, and he said, if you are right 56% of the time, you will be a very successful sports gambler. And I said, wait a minute. 50-50 is a flip of a coin. So expertise in your field only gives you a 6% advantage? And he said, yeah, and that's all you need. I said, well, 44% of the time you're going to be wrong. So you sure have to have staying power in order to realize your potential success. He said, yeah, but you will win eventually. I don't know, comment on that.
Yeah, I think it takes a certain type of personality and you can really see it with the way he is on Jeopardy. You know, he's just got nerves of steel. I think it was on Friday's game, right? He actually missed the first daily double where he went all in. And then the second daily double where he was in pretty close contention with the number two contestant, he went all in again. And, you know, for me, even if that was a mathematically correct choice, boy, that would just be pretty nerve-wracking for me. But he's able to just set that aside. Do the odds and make his bet, and he can live that way. So I think
suppose,
it's a big advantage.
You know, the difference you described with his attitude towards grades, right? Super smart, but he's not all caught up in being the valedictorian, right?
Right.
But that sort of, I'll say, indifference maybe serves him well in a pressure situation. He's not all wrapped up about it anyway, huh?
Yeah, and actually it's serving him well now that he's becoming kind of this minor celebrity. You know, all of a sudden he's getting inundated with all of these offers to do all kinds of stuff. And I think, a lot of more regular people like me would probably jump at a lot of those opportunities, but he's pretty casual about the whole thing. I mean, he turns down most of it.
Yeah.
He's got a few things he really wants to do. He really wanted to set off a buzzer to start an NHL hockey game, which he got to do last night. I think he'd really like to sing the seventh inning stretch at a Cubs game, so we're working on that. And you know, he's got a few sort of adolescent fantasies that he's living out right now. He's got a pretty good life.
Does he want to host a sports segment on WGN Radio anytime? Because we have just mention that to him. Tell him, you know, we know he's grown up listening to and watching WGN, and he's. he's doing all those other things. Maybe he'll ring the bell on the NYSE someday. But if he wants to come in here and just do a sports segment with us, take calls, kick around some sports, I'd love to give him the opportunity to do that.
Okay, I'll pass that on.
Hey, I want to play one more thing for you, too. Ian Holzhauer is on a phone line. We're talking about his brother, James, who's the ongoing Jeopardy champion. So I guess you're going to be glued to the TV today watching to see how he does, huh?
Absolutely.
And he'll probably win another $100,000 or some dang thing. But that
we'll
other
see.
Show, The Chase, that was on, was that on the Game Show Network?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so just to give you a sense of, Jeopardy's pretty good about protecting their material. So I don't have yesterday's show or last week's show or whatever. But just to show you how fast this guy's brain is, here he was on that show called The Chase.
And what Englishman published his discoveries in the Principia?
Isaac Newton.
Correct. What Russian coin is worth 1/100th of a ruble?
Kopeck.
Correct. What does the computer term USB stand for?
Universal Serial Bus.
Correct. What woman had a successful solo album after singing lead for the Fugees?
Lauryn Hill.
Correct. A spunky redheaded orphan is the subject of what 1945 book by Astrid Lindgren?
Pippi Longstocking.
Correct. The country of Lesotho is an enclave within what other country?
South Africa.
Correct. How many electrons are in a hydrogen atom?
One.
Correct. Krishna is an incarnation of the god Vishnu in what religion?
Hinduism.
Correct. What top gallery in Florence was designed by Giorgio Vasari as an office building?
Annoying. Totally annoying. And none of those were math, really. I mean, that was just him paying attention to the world.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a pretty amazing memory.
But, you know, I think we talked about this last Saturday or two Saturdays ago on my show, and I said, I think I could have gotten some of those right, but I don't know if I could do it that fast, right? Like, I'd
right.
go, if you asked me one of those questions, I'd go, hey, Elif, wasn't Lauryn Hill in the Fugees or not? Or was it, now time's up. I've just wasted all my 60 seconds. So
right.
I guess that's one of his virtues there, mentally anyway.
Well, ironically, I'm no help to our monthly trivia team at our local Irish pub. I've never won. So
with the name Holzhauer sitting there, they go, we'll never lose. But no.
wrong, brother.
I'm going to call you again another day, maybe at the end of the week. Let's see how he does. But Ian, what a pleasure. Congratulations to your family, to you and your successful career, and to your brother James and whatever it is he does for a living.
John, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, likewise. What a nice guy. Ian Holzhauer, 151. This is WGN. I was just looking for, a little while ago, we were talking about, what with it being Earth Day and all, this article called, what is it, Recycling is Garbage? Was that the name of it, Elif? It was by a guy named John Tierney. And we were talking about recycling and what you should and shouldn't do and how mixed the information is. If you're not clear about it, we tried to clear things up last week. And at the top of my Facebook page, I've posted the video. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. I posted the video of our conversation with Mary Allen, who is one of the, you know, real smart people about recycling. And she's in charge of it in Northern Cook County, a bunch of the suburbs. So she knows top to bottom, all the recycling rules, laws, regulations, what does and doesn't work in the Chicagoland area. She's a terrific guest. And we put that interview on the top of the page because it's a video as well. We live streamed it, and we literally were holding up the things and asking her, okay, what about this? What about this? So I think it's a fun little interview just to watch because I think we were learning a lot as we went. And then we opened up the phones here, and a lot of you were calling in going, yeah, that's not right. I don't know. She's kind of in charge, so I don't know who we are to say. But then I said, well, to me, even if you get it wrong, I mean, there's a lot of things to worry about. I don't worry too much about what goes in my garbage versus recycling. I don't worry about it at all. I recycle enough. And by enough, I mean I feel good about it, but you might not feel good about my attention to those details because I know I'm sometimes putting things in the garbage that could be recycled. But I don't want to go into where I live and why it's complicated. Anyway, there's this article called Recycling is Garbage by John Tierney, and it was written in 1996, but he's subsequently written another piece. I just recommend you read it. You don't have to believe it, but consider the author, consider the source. It's pretty well researched, right, Elif? It's called Recycling is Garbage.
Yes.
1996, New Yorker or New York Times?
New York Times, and the follow-up is called The Reign of Recycling.
The Reign of Recycling. And it's just fascinating. And again, the takeaway on both of them is he goes, we're good. We're fine. Don't worry about it. You might not agree with that. I'm just telling you what somebody wrote. And I thought that his conversation made me go, oh, okay. I mean, I'm worried about the climate, don't get me wrong, and I understand they're all tied together. But I know we have been to events where they say, okay, we've enjoyed our lunch here on the picnic. Now, your forks go in bin 23. Food scraps go in bins 8 through 9. And then it's just like all of this stuff. And I go, oh, seriously? You've got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous. I just want to get rid of my stuff.
Oh, Steve, I hate the idea of throwing away anything that might be recyclable.
Yeah.
So I just throw all my garbage in the recycling. Figure they'll catch it.
Right. So that you're the guy with the sneaker in the recycling bin going, well, I'm sure that you can manage.
That green bean casserole will have sort of rusted out of the plastic container by the time it gets to them.
I do have in my mind that, well, recycling is kind of like biodegradability, and therefore, if I just put it all together, you'll work it out. And then magically it goes somewhere and I don't have to worry about it.
Okay. And we feel good.
I know, and we are stupid if we do that. Okay, so Elif just handed me the article. There's a couple of drop-dead statements in this article that will change the way you feel about this. Elizabeth Warren, does it sound to you like she's just trying to buy votes with this idea that if you make up to $100,000 a year, all of your student loan debt up to $50,000 will be forgiven?
So if you make under $100,000.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you make up to $250,000, then it gets prorated, right? So that for every dollar in debt you have, $3 is forgiven and it zeroes out at $250,000. The point is you would get student loan forgiveness if your income is up to $250,000. And I think that's fantastically generous. And, you know, maybe that's a good use of our resources, right? Saddling people with that kind of debt when they're just trying to be productive citizens and pay taxes is maybe not a good idea. But they did it. You know, and I said a moment ago that I speak out of both sides of my mouth on this one. It is this. I don't know that I support a policy like this. If a policy like this were in place, though, if we collectively in the United States decided that the Congress should pass that, and they did, and the president signed it, then I think you and I should exercise every option available. I wouldn't blame you for doing that if we've all decided that I'm going to subsidize your student debt, because that's what it would be. What we have now on the books are certain rules, laws, and regulations that do allow you to reduce your debt, right? And the problem is people don't even know that. Hence that lady that comes on and just explains it. And I kind of roll my eyes at some of that because I think, are you kidding me, really? But hey, I would be using those if I could. There's no reason you shouldn't. Now the question is, should we double down even more? Should we say, okay, and the numbers are pretty staggering, right? 44 million people have student debt, and it's over $1 trillion. Here we go again. You may know, or you may be somebody that's in great debt. And so now here comes Elizabeth Warren, and she says, well, if you vote for me, I will work hard. One of her platform planks is going to be that we're just going to wipe that out. We asked Ray Kaplan, the attorney. We said, okay, so who's holding those notes? Is it private or is it public? And she said it would mean the government, namely the U.S. Department of Education, would be forgiving $1.5 trillion in debt owed by 44.5 million U.S. borrowers. The loss would be taken by the government and not the banks. That's you and me.
You're angry because you've already paid yours. I've paid a lot of mine, too.
That's half correct, Steve. Yeah. I think in principle, if I'd never been to college and never paid a tuition dollar, I'd still go, yeah, I'm not sure this is right.
Because they agreed to the terms. Right, they took out the loan. And they promised to pay it back, so they should be responsible for it. Right.
I mean, hey, Steve, do you owe on a car or a house?
No, John, I'm debt-free.
Or a student loan or a Nordstrom card? Because right. I'd love it if somebody would come along and go, this is unfair, the amount of bill that you have on your Nordstrom. I mean, who knew shoes would rack up like that? And therefore, we're going to waive the Nordstrom bills all across this great land.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to have my kids start defaulting on their loans until we see who wins.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, you're going to pay interest either way.
Why the hell would we pay our student loan now?
Well, that's a little bit.
Away.
Okay, I'm not saying this is me, But this is the person who says, okay, right, exactly what you just said. And how about those of us who did pay those loans? How about a little grandfathering us in? How about forgiving me for the stuff I did pay? Like, if in my life I paid, I don't know, $100,000 of student loans or tuition costs, right? Brenda and I went to a junior college and then Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. Grant Griffin went to college. Brenda went to college. But I'll bet I've paid somehow or another $100,000 in student loan and debt over the years between the four of us. I guarantee it. I'll take $25,000.
And just walk away? I'll take $25,000.
I'll go away. I will walk out of here right now. Last you'll ever see of this troublemaker.
I haven't seen too much of her. I haven't seen too much of this plan. Is there any retro, or is it only going forward? Or because my kids, like Emma, just graduated last year. It'd be, you know, she's saddled with student debt.
This is the story of my life. Every time I finish paying for something, then the government says, "Okay, it's 2009, and everybody's in a crisis. We'll buy your washer." I had just finished paying for a washer. They were buying used cars for people. They were helping folks buy used cars. I just paid off a car.
So let's take Emma. So she's settled with student debt. And then the graduate just after her then is at a huge economic advantage over her.
When they graduate.
Yeah,
sure.
That's a big...
Absolutely. I mean, I just... And by the way... Senator Warren, you've been a senator for a while. Go ahead and introduce a bill. Just push it through Congress. Maybe the president will sign it. He doesn't know. I mean, maybe he won't even notice.
Say and put in it, and you don't have to release your tax return.
There you go. That's how these things get done.
Right. That's called compromise. It's a deal. It's art of the deal.
Everybody wins.
We don't want to see it that bad.
I'll tell you what. I know a lot of liberal Democrats who'd make that deal in a heartbeat.
Well, I don't know about that, but I would certainly trade my kid's student debt for never seeing his tax returns.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. I think a lot of people say, okay, I really feel angry about the president suing the Congress over this debt thing, or his taxes.
I think you have just stumbled upon genius right there. And throw in infrastructure.
Let's take a call. Diane, you're on WGN Radio. Hello, you're on the air.
Good to talk to you, King John.
Likewise. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, I know I'm a day late, dollar short, and I listen to your podcast because I live currently in Pennsylvania. But at one point in time, I lived in South Dakota. And in South Dakota, we have this thing called set-aside lands. That's the land that is rented to farmers and others to pay for the entire education system for the state. There is no income taxes, and there are no property taxes. Now, there is local taxes for other things, but there is no education taxes vis-a-vis local property tax to cover education. It's an amazing system.
Yeah.
And because of that, the whole school system statewide is very equitable. There's not this, because I was raised outside of Lincolnshire. I went to Stevenson High School. That school is one of the most well-funded schools in the state. But if I were to live in an area that I can afford now, I'd be in one that would struggle to have enough money to just be able to put a kid in a chair and have them get some basic education.
That's South Dakota you're describing, right?
That was South Dakota. Now, I live in Pennsylvania, which is a little different, but I'm planning on moving back to South Dakota.
Oh, move to Chicago. So, come back to Chicago.
Well, I would love to come back home, but now I'm following my grandkids. So I love my grandkids, and sorry, my heart's where it's going to belong with my family.
I completely understand that. This is a very interesting call. Well, where are you listening to us right now?
I'm in York, Pennsylvania.
Diane, we really appreciate you finding us on the web. I guess you say... that thing we do at the top of the hour, you're smart. If you have a smart device, say, play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Do you do that?
No, actually, I podcast you. I download it, and I'm usually a day or two behind in listening because there are a number of broadcasts that I love to listen to, but yours and Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder are on the top of my A-game list.
Yeah, but you know that we're live right now, right? Like, you're not talking to me from 2 days ago.
Right.
which would
be
weird.
Well, the reason I
how did you do that?
I said, okay.
She is so smart.
It's amazing. So,
but I know you were an hour behind me. I got on the WGN app. I took a look at what time your show broadcast was. Said, oh, I can call, and decided to make the phone call. Usually, I'm in the classroom teaching.
Well, I see your interest in this in many ways. Thank you so much for calling and listening and finding us.
Thank you. And you have a wonderful day.
It's Diane listening to us in PA.
Now, will she listen to it again in 2 days, or she's lived it now? She won't have to listen to it.
She can run back now and wait for it to come up as a podcast, because we podcast these shows. So here's the New York Times today. Miss Warren's sweeping plan has several planks. She would pay for it with revenue generated by her proposed increase in tax for the wealthy. So we're going to give away $600 billion, but don't worry, the rich will pay for it. She would eliminate up to $50,000 in student loan debt for every person with a household income of less than $100,000. Borrowers who make between $100,000 and $250,000 would have a portion of their debt forgiven. Elif just stepped out. Elif, when you get back in, get that Ray Kaplan on the phone. Elif, get Ray on the phone. I want to ask her about this. Ray Kaplan. We'll talk to Barb. Hey, Barb, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you?
Hey, John. Glad to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call. I think that this is a good idea, but there is a lot to be done here. I feel that the first 2 years should not be paid for because a lot of students don't finish. So you pay you go locally to the junior colleges, live at home, and then the government will fund your last 2 years. A lot of people are going to go out of state and sunbathe in Florida and ski in Montana or wherever they're going to go, and then we're going to pay for that. I'm not feeling that one. So, I mean, I funded my own vacation through the master's degree. I feel strongly about this, and I mean, I've seen too many people stop after a few classes, you know, after they've had all the beer they can drink or all the parties they can stand.
That's interesting, yeah. So really, if we really are serious about forgiving your debt, then you need to be really serious about getting a degree.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks for the call, Barb.
You bet. Thanks for your time.
Interesting point. Ray's on 7. 312-981-7200. Call or text. 312-981-7200. Call or text that number. Tell us what you think about Senator Warren's idea. Structured her presidential campaign around a steady unveiling of disruptive policy ideas. On Monday, her biggest one yet, $1.25 trillion plan to reshape higher education by canceling most student loan debt and eliminating tuition at every public college. I'm more behind number two than number one. Once upon a time, if you had a high school education, that was good enough. I mean, a college education has always been a good idea, but you could go work for John Deere or Caterpillar in central Illinois. You could go work for ADM in Decatur, and you'd be fine. You could go work for Caterpillar in Joliet, for that matter, or a lot of places, and you'd be fine. That you'd have a nice living, and you'd have a boat. And every week that you went to work for 40 straight hours, they'd give you an hour off. Y days, they'd call them. But that just doesn't happen anymore. And, it's not there. You can get a job at Caterpillar. It's not going to pay you like you used to. You want to be living a nicer life, then you need a college education. But we've decided that we're only going to pay for you up to the 12th grade. Well, why? If we think that it's good for people as seniors in high school, why? But then we tell them, but what you really need is a college education, and what you really need is $75,000 to do that. Why don't we help them out? Anyway, let's talk to Ray Kaplan for a second here. Hey, Ray, this is John. You're on the air. How are you?
Hi, John. Good. How are you?
I don't know. So, what are you thinking about this conversation, Ray?
About Elizabeth Warren's proposition, I think it's a nice idea, but I also think that we have to look at whether or not it's actually going to give us good results on how educated people are and whether or not they finish school. I think you're right in that it looks like possibly a cheap ploy to buy votes. However, there are some
some good aspects to it, I think.
Well, answer this for me. I think I know, but just make sure I've got this right. Who holds the note? If I go to a store and take a candy bar, that stores out a dollar, if it's a dollar candy bar, that they deserve. I shouldn't get free candy bars. Is this privately held loans that somebody else paid the tuition on, or who paid these tuition bills?
No, so this is all money that's owed to the U.S. Department of Education. So they would be taking, and Elizabeth Warren's people said that it would cost approximately $1.25 trillion over 10 years. But just some very quick math, if they're actually thinking about forgiving everybody's loans, where they forgive about $50,000 in loans if you're over, or I'm sorry, if you're less than $100,000 per year,
yeah,
it looks like it might actually cost about $1.425 trillion. But putting aside the cost, I think that it's a good idea. You know, they always want us to look to other countries to see whether or not free education works out well. And I did find that in the United Kingdom, public college education is no longer free, although it used to be. As of 1998, public university is not free in England, Wales, Scotland, or Northern Ireland. And that's because providing free public university was actually shown to reduce the quality of higher education and lessen access to educational opportunities to lower income students, because they had to put caps on enrollments. So sometimes it's just these good intentions.
I understand. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about this? Brett, you're on WGN Radio. What are you thinking about when you listen to this conversation, Brett?
Well, I just jumped back in the truck when you were stating that you got kind of ticked off, you know, when things would be forgiven if you had just paid them off. And a couple weeks ago on 60 Minutes, they were showing a piece on New York or NYU.
The med school.
They were offering their entire medical school program for free to people that made it into that program.
Yeah.
And one of the women that they were profiling had just paid her entire first 3 years of medical school. She's getting her fourth for free. And I kind of sat there and had to check myself as what kind of person am I when I was kicked off that I would be paying for 3 years. Everybody else is getting it for nothing.
I think we've all been wondering something like that with this too, Ray. I mean, I guess that's just.
Yeah. I completely understand that. It's appealing on one level, right? I think we can all agree that we all want the public to be educated, and the more educated, the better. And I think that that would have a good effect on the economy overall. And I think that's probably what she's going for, but I think if we actually look at the data, it turns out that the relationship between higher state education spending and economic growth is almost always negative. The more the states spend on higher education, the lower the growth rate is. And I know that that's kind of unexpected.
Yeah.
Right. But there was actually an interesting study out of Indiana University when I was looking up Warren's proposal earlier. I came across showing that only 30% of community college students complete their two-year program within 6 years, and only 7% complete a bachelor's degree at a four-year institution within a six-year time frame. So it doesn't appear that it actually appears that the more skin you have in the game, in other words, if you're paying more for the cost,
right,
the likelihood that you're going to finish is actually higher.
I want to challenge one of the numbers you just threw out, and then we got to wrap this up. But you said only 7% of the people that graduate from college graduate within 6 years?
Yeah, that's what this study out of Indiana University said. Only 7.7% completed a bachelor's degree at a four-year institution within a six-year time frame.
Oh,
so
now that can't be right. I mean, I know it's not. Nobody graduates in 4 years hardly anymore. Props to you if your kid did, but I understand that's hard to do. Because of money and because of classes and blah, blah, blah. But it's got to be higher than 7% in 6 years, unless the population you're talking about is people who are getting it for free. But I don't know.
Right. These are community fund or state funded community schools.
So if you said, okay, you're not going to pay for the tuition, only 7% of them graduate within 6 years?
Apparently, it's it creates a poor academic incentive.
Right.
So that's the downside. But I can see how it's appealing. I just don't know how fiscally responsible it is. I mean, that's a whole other question. But I do think it's going to cost more, because then she, not only does she want to eliminate a lot of the federal debt that's already owed, which is $1.5 trillion, she wants to get rid of 95% of it, but then she also wants to make all public universities and community colleges free.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you say we were running about this too? We've got to end this now, Ray. But she's saying that if I am currently paying on a student loan, that will be forgiven?
Yes, if you meet that median income, so if you're under that $100,000 per year, that was my understanding.
Yeah, or $250,000, but you don't get 100% then. Think about that. You could be ordering $250,000 a year, and Elizabeth Warren, as president, is going to help pay for the money you owe, even if you're not currently going. Oh, I am
right?
so
And an increase in Pell Grants, too.
Goodbye, Ray Kaplan.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Nice to talk to you. You can call her on your own. 312-294-8989, Kaplan Law Firm. Somebody just texted, 312-981-7200, said, John, was it No Fear of Physics? Was that the book you were reading by Krauss? And on my nightstand, I not that long ago posted a picture of the books that I've been reading. And Fear of Physics by Lawrence Krauss was one of them. Really interesting book. Just talks about, you know, the world and how stuff is made and how things work. And it's not a physics book, but it did talk about the design of cows. And it's just kind of fun stuff, if you're into that. Fear of Physics by Lawrence Krauss. In fact, I'm going to, on Facebook real soon, just kind of do a summary of a bunch of books I've been reading lately and enjoying. Sometimes we interview the authors, sometimes we don't. I've spent some time this weekend reading the Mueller Report. I'm going to read that thing all the way through, and then I will be insufferable.
That'd be a great get. Go ahead and get that, John.
Get Mr.
Mueller?
You know, it's funny because one of the reporters came up to him as he was going into a car, and they said, Mr. Mueller, will you testify before Congress? And he just looked at him like, you worm. And I thought, that's A, not a stupid question, and B, he should if he was coming out of a TGI Fridays and they saw him, imagine that, Mueller at a TGI Fridays, and he's coming out of there.
It'd be a Thursday.
You would say, hey, Mr. Mueller, and he would, there's no harm in him talking. My God, he wrote a 400-page report, and this is the thing America wants to know about. So answer some questions, dude. I cannot think of one reason why he would not or should not be talking to people.
I think if he informally answered that question, that would just open up the gates to, you know, I mean, I think as long as he's not answering any informal questions.
Well, as long as he speaks the truth or his truth. I mean, you know, the president won't like it, but beside the point.
Right, but then he'd never get a table at TGIF again. I mean, there'd be so many people around.
Yeah, but have you been to Fuddruckers?
No.
Oh, it's really good.
Mine
They've
closed.
Got these great big hamburgers and the pickles and onions on there kill. Or how about Olive Garden? Now, there's with that breadstick and salad thing they got, get out of here. He could go to Olive Garden. I'm just saying there's a lot of options for him if he's worried about where he's going to pick up a discount meal.
Right. Well, I think I think he's probably not going to talk until he testifies before Congress.
Okay,
first.
Well then will you testify before Congress? He just looked at you like, I would crush your head. I crush your head. I take your head, I crush it like little bug.
Don't do a Russian accent with him, please. That's
right. I don't know why I went there.
You're mixing messages there terribly.
There it was. Boy, if he did do that, you'd go, oh my God!
Collusion.
Remember
you talked about collusion.
Remember, was it No Way Out with Kevin Costner? Spoiler alert, there's this movie, and the whole time he's defending himself because they think he's a Russian spy. And at the end, he turns to one of the guys and goes, oh my God, he is one! Holy cow! That's how that movie ends.
Can you do a German?
I don't want to offend any other ethnic groups. It seems like Russians are pretty safe right now, but I think.
How about Italian? Can you do Italian?
I'm Turkish, so maybe that gives you some permission to do. No?
I don't mean to trot you out like a child whose talent is fun for the adults, but when you speak Turkish, as you were on the phone the other day, I find it fascinating because Elif has grown up in a multilingual household and still speaks fluent Turkish. She had occasion the other day to speak Turkish in our office to somebody, and I was listening to you, Elif, and I couldn't even make out a segment of a word. You know what I mean? It uses a different part of the mouth and throat.
Yeah.
And it's just so weird that you can do that and And that if somebody was doing that to you, you'd be able to discern unique ideas, words, concepts. It's like, watch this. I walked the dog. You can tell which are the words and which are not the words. They're distinct sounds with very particular consonant sounds. And when you speak fluent Turkish, it just sounds like it's so different than what I'm used to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but a non-English speaker would disagree with you on that. So it's the same thing.
Do you think a person in Turkey listening to us right now would know? Our language can't be that difficult. Boy, there's an ethnocentric thing, eh? Good old American English, that's the regular language. It's the rest of you that are foreigners. But don't you think that our language has more distinct units? Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
It just sounded like everything kind of ran together when you spoke Turkish the other day.
I do feel like I'm more lazy when I speak Turkish. I'm like mumbling a lot more.
Well, I didn't want to say that, but it sounds that way. And that's just the way that language flows.
It's not the language, it's just me.
I want to read the Ask Amy piece that you pointed out to us off the show. Do you read Amy Dickinson? This is Amy Dickinson's letter. Somebody wrote to her in the Tribune today. Dear Amy, this one just slays me. I love and respect my wife, but we can't converse because she's always talking. When we go out with friends, her verbal domination exhausts everyone. She repeats generally well-worn childhood stories. Her style is intense yet repetitive and endlessly meandering. She conducts a running monologue when others attempt to get a word in edgewise. If I have an interesting experience, she jumps in to tell my story. Alone together, she'll ask me a question and then respond before I can answer. Can you discern the root cause of this over-talking behavior? Can you recommend some non-confrontational encouragements toward conversational calm? Or will my meaningful conversations always be found outside my marriage? What a sad question. Will my meaningful conversations always be found outside my marriage? What is a marriage but a hopefully lifelong conversation with somebody? If you can't talk to somebody meaningfully, you can't be married. So that was a letter from Seldom Heard. And I'm like, okay, Amy, what have you got for that? And here's her response, in part. My theory is that we are experiencing a cultural shift away from listening. True dat, right? We are terrible at listening these days. She also said, in a healthy marriage, partners can offer respectful feedback and correction. Yeah, that's not easy to do, but yeah. If your partner's doing something wrong or annoying to you, in a healthy marriage, partners can offer respectful feedback and correction. That sounds so academic. In the real world, hey, honey, the way you're doing that is wrong and it annoys me. Why, thank you for that helpful feedback. I will correct my behavior so we will be in Congress. It's not that easy. And then here's the payoff. Expect your wife to react defensively. Press on lovingly. Try using a talking stick. You two can do this at the dinner table. Take an object in your hand. Agree that only the person holding the object may speak. This will make her conscious of how her mind races to verbally dominate. Don't hand her the talking stick until you have finished your thought. Has she heard you, or is she simply waiting for you to finish? Ask her if she can repeat or respond to what you've just said before you give her the talking stick. Okay, how's that going to go?
That's such a creative response, too.
I've heard of, I mean, like, I've seen on TV shows or whatever where they have the talking stick. But isn't that used, like, in group therapy sessions or, I don't know, with an adolescent? I don't know what this person's marriage is like, but I don't know that, I can't imagine the marriage for 2 years or two decades. You'd say, okay, honey, this fork is the talking fork. And we're just sitting here eating our Malnati's. We're people that eat Malnati's with forks. And I'm going to talk. And you can't talk. You can't talk. You cannot say a word until I give you the fork. And then you, and by the way, when I give you the fork, I'm going to ask you to repeat, first of all, what I said to make sure that you heard what I said, because I don't think you're really listening. I know that's what you need to do, but has anybody ever, ever tried that, and did it work? Hey, Karen, it's John. You're on the air. What's up?
Hello. I'm listening to your conversation about the article in the paper today, and lo and behold, that is what I separated for my husband to read. Honest to God, I'm listening to you, and I'm going, holy smokes, this is where I'm at, you know, and I read this, where I read it this morning, and so I have that for him. It is extremely frustrating. I love the man. I have been married to him for almost just shy of 50 years, but it has increased, and I think it is impolite. I say to myself, how can you do this? How can you not think what I'm saying? This is not a conversation. This is interrupting. I also think with my husband, it is hard of hearing. And so that was not brought up into the article,
yeah,
or from the article. And that is an issue he has to deal with. But I can tell you, I have tried. It's rude. You're not hearing me. You're not listening to me. Then I just shut down and I say, oh, you missed it. Too bad. I'm not going to repeat. You know, because the frustration just increases. So, and I don't think that you're being very patient and listening to my frustration here, but, you know, I listen.
Yeah, Gracie, it's a shame that he doesn't let you talk because you've got a lot to say. Think of all of the slow things you've had on your mind that he hasn't had a chance to hear.
That's right. And wait till I tell him I talk to you. He's going to go, oh, my God, people will know it's me. Yes, they will. They will.
Oh, trust me. They already know. All right. But Karen, it's Karen. Gracie's my next call. But just one last thing before you go. And that is, so she says, all right, do the talking stick thing where you can't talk until I hand you.
I heard that. And
how's
I
that
thought,
gonna go?
And then you mentioned fork. And I thought, so help me God, I'm going to stab him with the talking fork. Because, you know, it's not a talking stick. Now I have a weapon in my hand, and you will listen to me. Anyway, have a good afternoon.
Karen. Gracie, you're on WGN. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, hi. Karen said a little bit about what I was going to say. Don't use a fork because it becomes a weapon, and defensiveness is difficult to deal with a weapon. And my partner would, I would do the same thing. And I think it's based on, for me, it was based on insecurity. And, what my partner would do is say to me, repeat after me what I said. And then I would have a chance to say what I heard versus what she said, and we would have that discussion.
But isn't that's funny, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of a shame.
Yeah, isn't that condescending?
No. Well, it was not really condescending, but then it was the irony of it is she rarely spoke to me. She rarely told me anything, but when she did, it was like, now I need to know that you heard me.
Wait a minute. So in this story, the person who talks incessantly and isn't a good listener was you or was your partner?
Me.
Yeah.
Me. Well, I was talking.
Hold on. I have the stick. So what would it have been like if you guys tried that talking stick thing?
We were told to do that.
Really? That's a thing. Wow.
She refused to do it.
Well, I can see how that would be hard either way. Elif just whispered in my ear, time is up, Gracie, but you sound like a lovely person to talk to.
Well, thank you, John. You're a wonderful person to listen to.
It's my pleasure. Into Studio A, I see Rokan.
Yes, that is me. I am here.
How are you?
And we have rock and roll royalty.
Oh, I'm so glad that Tom Rundgren is coming on.
Is going to be stepping into the studio with us
now. That's awesome.
It's a little different. We try to be a little more about the news in the first hour of the show for CLTV and all that. But Mr. Rundgren was available, and I'm like, we got to talk to this guy. He's got a book out. He's one of the most prolific and interesting artists of the last 40 years. And the funny thing is that, you know, people know a lot of his songs, but it was what he did behind the scenes that is really the stories of the bands that he worked with, and as a producer, and as just an innovator, technical innovator. It is the most. He is one of those people that changed the world.
Wow. Well, let you and I stop talking. I'll run down the hall because I'm sure he'd love to ask me some questions too. So.